Okay, today's daf is Chulin Kafchet. I just mentioned that this week's learning is sponsored in addition to the Refuah Shlemot that we had of Netanel Ilan Ben Shein Tzipor and Daphne Chaya Batsara for the next while. Also, our learning for this week is dedicated in honor of my daughter's bat mitzvah. Someone sponsored it. It's happening this week. Okay. We're going to go back for a minute to about eight lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishum Rav Yitzchak Ben Pinchas. So we're going to deal with the statement of Rav Yitzchak Ben Pinchas. Also, there's a sheet today charted out to organize it. Ein shchita la'of min ha-Torah, shene'emar v'shafach v'shvicha ba'al masagim. So what did we say? Shchita of birds is not mentioned in the Torah. It's only a rabbinic decree to basically do shchita for birds from the Torah. You don't need shchita. We mentioned this previously in the Masechet. We'll now go into it and try to show all sorts of sources that seem to go against this, till we'll finally conclude that there's a machloket Tanaim about this. And he holds like one Tana, and the other source, well, we'll see. When we finally get to a place where we're stuck, we can't explain it any other way. We'll say that source holds by the other Tana. So then we said, based on the pasuk about b'shafach, what about the chaya? The chaya is also in that pasuk. So why do we say that a chaya needs shchita and a bird doesn't? So we said in the end, and I wanted to just specify, someone wrote me this, which was, thank you for pointing it out. It says, in the end, they say b'shafach et damo, because it says damo in singular. I missed that yesterday, because damo is singular. It shows only one of them doesn't need shchita. And then they said, well, why of and not the chaya? So they say, oh, that's because of was close to that in the pasuk. Okay, now we're going to start with a bunch of questions. They're here on the sheet. So we're going to see three Tanaitic sources, and we're going to then explain them. We're going to assume they're referring to Oph, and then they say, no, it's referring to something else, or we're not. We'll see when we get to each one. Meitive. Hashochet v'nit navla b'yado hanocher v'hamaker patur milachasot. Okay, so in all these cases, you don't need to do kisoy hadam. The assumption is kisoy hadam is only when it was shechted properly or dealt with properly. So they say, so the Braita says, if you're shochet and it died as you were doing shlita because you didn't do proper shlita, or you stabbed it, nocher, or ma'akir, you uprooted the sources, patur milechasot, you have no chiyuv kisoy hadam. And if you say the iamart ein shchita la'of min haTorah, the chirato zoi shchitato, and therefore libay kisui. So if you say there's no shchita for of min haTorah, then if you kill a bird in any other way, like stabbing it, if mi deoraita, that's a fine shchita, even if mi derabanan they made you do shchita, then it should need kisui hadam. And here it indicates that you don't need kisui hadam if it wasn't shechted properly. So what are the answer? Oh, Misavart ba'of, who's to say that source is talking about birds? Lo bechaya, you could very simply say that that source is dealing only with chayot, and therefore it has nothing to do with birds. So when the source says if you're shechting it and it dies, you know, properly, or you stab it, or any other thing, that's only, and there you don't have to do kisoy adam, that's not referring to birds at all. And therefore, no question. Okay, next source. Hashochet betzarich ladam, chayav lechasot. Okay, if you're shochet, let's say you're shechting an animal, not because you want to eat it, but you want the blood. We'll see in a minute what are possible reasons you might need the blood for. If you're shechting just because you need the blood, chayav lechasot, you have to cover the blood, so therefore you're stuck, right? You want to shech this animal, but you need the blood. You're supposed to spill the blood and cover it. So, ketzad oseh, o nochro, o oklo. Either, right, you basically shecht it improperly, okay, you stab it, you know, you kill it improperly, I should say, not shecht it, but you stab it, or take out the simanim, in which case it's not a kosher shchita, in which case you're not chayav kisoy adam. So what do you see here? Assuming this also refers to birds, that yesh shchita la'of min haTorah, because if it wasn't, then again, you'd be chayav in kisoy adam, alacha midoraita, for killing the bird. So again, what are the answer? Now, why they assume it was a bird, you'll see now. My lav ba'of de kabai le ledame linicha. Is it not that you need the bird for, and that's, why are we assuming it's a bird? Because what would you need the blood of an animal for? The assumption is the blood of a bird you could, in theory, use for something. What would you use it for? For putting blood, they would put blood on their clothing or near their clothing, and it would scare away the moths. That was like a way that they dealt with moths eating clothing. Again, this is Rashi's explanation. I assume there's probably others also. I see there's a different girsa also in the Aruch. Okay, the Aruch, we mention it once in a while, I'll re-mention it. The Aruch is the earliest dictionary, Talmud of Aramaic, and it's from, I think, the 11th century, if I remember correctly, so it's really early, and sometimes his girsa are a little different, so here he has a different girsa, Leoniva. But anyway, let's just go with Rashi, who says it was basically to avoid the moths. You maybe want to try it, I don't know, but... anyway, then what do they say? Lo b'chaya. No, you could say it's the blood of an animal, of a chaya. D'kabayle l'dame l'lacha. I don't know how you pronounce it, but anyway, what do you need it for? It's a certain dye they would use from the blood of a chaya. So therefore they say, no, there's also uses of blood for a chaya, and it could be it's talking about if you want the blood of a chaya, what you do is you shecht it improperly or stab it or whatever, and that's then you wouldn't be chayav to cover the blood. Okay, but then it doesn't have anything to do with birds. Okay, so the first two sources we basically rejected and said these sources have nothing to do with birds, they don't prove anything. Again, we're stuck with, right, we're on Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas' statement about Ein Shchita La'Of Min HaTorah, and we're trying to see, is that really so? Tashma, now we get to our third source. Malak b'sakin mitame begadim abe tablia. Okay, here's a Mishnah in Zvachim. It says if you do malika with a knife, okay, which means, right, it's not a proper malika because you did it with a knife. It's mitame begadim abe tablia. There's tumat nevela. Ve'i amart ein shchita la'of min haTorah. If you want to say, right, there's no shchita min haTorah, nihi nami d'chitavar le'shidra u'mafreket havi le'trefa. When you're doing malika, what happens? First you break the neck bone and the backbone. So once he breaks the neck bone, it would become a trefa, and therefore tahani le sakin le tahara mide nevela. You would then say that the knife, by using, if you say there's no shchita l'of min haTorah, then the knife should work, one second, right, if you would cut the sipanim, and that's what are you doing here? You did malika with a sakin. So it should, the sakin should take it out of tumat nevela. And that's because, one second, if, and how does this fit in with Rabbi Yitzchak? Because what we say, according to this, so since Rav Pinchas thinks that, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas thinks that doing shchita with a knife, in other words, is basically the same as anything, then when you're using that knife and doing malika, that should remove the tumat nevela, and it should be just considered, right, if you have a, it should be considered like a trefa animal that was then shechted properly with shchita. Remember what shchita does. If you do a proper shchita on a trefa animal, while you obviously can't eat it, but it doesn't have tumat nevela on it. So this would seem to imply that since you do it with a sakin, you would think that according to Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas, that should take away the nevela issue. And it doesn't. So what are the answers? Since they're stuck here with an answer, now they're going to come and say, Hu de'amar ki hai tana. He holds like a different tana. De'tanya, Rabbi Lezer ha-kapar b'rebi omer, matamu lomar akesher yachelet atzvi. Okay, this is the pasuk in Vayikra that we saw in... this is, okay, with the pasuk in Vayikra about basar tava, this is saying if you want to eat meat, right, and you don't, not in the mikdash, and the truth is that, we'll see here, the Gemara assumes that it's referring to psulei hamukdashim. You have something that was designated but became pasul, so then you can use it and eat it as you want outside the mikdash, and it says, ach kasher ye'achel et hatzvi ve'et ha'ayal, kein tochlenu hatameh v'hatahor yachdav yochlenu. Okay, you can eat it like this. Hatameh v'atahor yachdav yochlenu. Even if you're tameh, you can eat it this way. Even if it's tameh, you can eat it. In other words, now we're going to say, what does he learn from this pasuk Lazara kapar? Because it's v'chimad amanu mitzviva ayal me'ata. Harei zebala lameh benim tzalameh. He's basically saying that those words, like you eat a tzvi and an ayal, don't really add anything to the pasuk. You could have just said, that you can eat them, right? You can shech them and eat them outside the mikdash. There was no point to compare it to a tzvi and an ayal. So what do they say? Hareze bala lameh benim tzalameh, right? This is already taught. In other words, there's no need for it. Therefore, what do they learn from this? Was Rabbi Elazar HaKapar learn? Mekish tzvi va'ayal lipsulei hamukdashim. It's in order to make a hekesh between animals that are ra'oi for the mikdash, but then become disqualified, to a tzvi and an ayah, which are never brought as sacrifices. How are we going to compare them? Mapsulei hamukdashim b'shchita, av tzvi va'ayal b'shchita. What is this to teach you? That just like psulei hamukdashim have to be slaughtered properly, also the tzvi and ayal have to be slaughtered properly. And then,
what? Is an ayal brought as a sacrifice? There's
one, there's so I think there's a difference between an ayal and an ayal is a ram and an ayal is a deer.
Oh.
Okay, so they're okay. Different. Yeah, yeah, I know. They sound the same, but yeah, that's, I also, wait a minute, but then I looked, yeah, no. So an ayal is translated as a deer. That's not something we bring on the mikdash, but when we always talk about an ayal, it's the ram. Remember, the ayal is the keves that's gotten older, right? So it could be it's just a term used for that, and it's not the same as the ayal. Okay. So now what do we say? And what does he point out then in the Sbraita? Ve'och ein lo shchita midivrei Torah ela midivrei sofrim. Okay, so he says, here you learn about a tzvi and an ayal that they need shchita. But there's no proof about a bird. So what does he say here? Rabbi Elazar HaKapar says, shchita is only midivrei sofrim. And the Mishnah in Zvachim that we saw, malak besakim, etamei begadim, abed abliya, obviously thinks that shchita is midoraita. Okay, so now they say for shchita of a bird. Man tana de palagalit Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. Who is that tana? In other words, who's that Mishnah said in accordance with which opinion? Because we want to see, is there really a Tanaitic opinion that says that? Rebbe, he happens to be Rebbe, Rabbi Yudan Nasi. Dutanya, Rebbe omer v'zavachta kasher tzivitiha. We saw this before, right? You should slaughter it like I commanded you, and it doesn't say anywhere where God commanded. So they say, Melamed shenitztaveh Moshe ala veshet ba'ala kaneh, v'al rov echa ba'of, v'al rov shnayim v'behema. Okay, from here we can learn that Moshe must have been commanded somewhere, right, which is like we talked about this last time. It's a strange kind of do'oraita, because it's a do'oraita that's not mentioned in the Torah, but we would say it's alluded to in the Torah. The Torah alludes to the fact that there were laws of shchita that were passed down to Moshe, and that are mentioned in the Torah in the words Kasher Tzivitiha, as I commanded you. And what is that? That's that you have to slaughter the veshet and the kaneh, the animal, and the majority of one in a bird, and the majority of the veshet and the kaneh in a behema. And from here you see that there is shchitat ha'of min haTorah. Again, not really explicitly, but implied. Okay, now we're going to go back to Echab Ba'of. We talked about one siman in the bird in the Mishnah. So we're going to have a machloket about this. Itmar, Rav Nachman Amar, O Veshet, O Kaneh. That's how we understood Echab Ba'of until now. We understood it meant one or the other, whichever one you want. Rav Adabar Ava Amar, Veshet Vilo Kaneh. Has to be the esophagus and not the windpipe. Okay? That's, he says only that one. So now we're going to talk about what their source is. Rav Nachman Amar, O Veshet, O Kaneh. Their source is going to be from the wording of the Mishnah. Echad katane, echad kol dehu. It says one siman. One means anyone, right? Otherwise, it would have specified. Rav Adbar Ava Amar Veshet Velo Kaneh, Ma Echad Meyuchad. He says it's the special one, okay? The one that's more basic, more essential to the animal, okay? He assumes that that's the one where the, you can see Rashi, he says, Chayuta Behema Taloibo. Okay, if you get a hole in the veshet, the animal's a trefa, just any little hole. With the kaneh, it has to be the majority of it is cut for you to say it's a trefa. So you see here that the veshet is a more critical part of the animal, and that the life is taloibo, and therefore if you're going to cut one siman, it's going to be the one that the life is dependent upon. Okay, and therefore he says the veshet and not the kaneh. Okay, so now you can see from the chart, we're going to have two questions on Rav Nachman's Shita, and then three questions on Rav Ada's Shita, which you could have worded this in either way. Either it's a question on one or a proof text for the other. Okay, each time we're going to have an answer, and then the Gemara is going to say, well, so where does that leave us? And then we're gonna see, although the last one, maybe there really isn't such a good answer on Rav Ada, and then we're gonna bring a source to basically conclude which we hold by. Okay. Ametive. So first source. Shachat et haveshet v'achar kach nishmita har gargaret kshera. Okay, if you shecht, you cut the veshet, and then the esophagus, I'm sorry, the windpipe comes out of its place, kshera. Nishmita har gargaret, but if the windpipe comes out of its place first, v'achar kach shachat et haveshet, and then you cut the esophagus, psula. Okay, then it will be disqualified, because the animal, right, is a trefa. Shachat et haveshet v'nimtzeit gargaret shmuta. If you shech the veshet, and then you find the windpipe out of place, ve'eino yodeh, and he doesn't know im kodem shchita nishmita, im la'achar shchita nishmita, and you're stuck, you don't know when did it come out of place, because we already learned that it all depends on whether it was before the shchita or after the shchita. Zehaya ma'aseh, ma'aseh like this happened. I just want to remind you, we're all in the middle of a Tanitic source here. This is the whole Tanitic source. And after we get to the source, we're going to say, what is it, how does this imply that it's a question on Rav Nachman? Im la'achar shchita nishmita, sorry, I lost my place. Okay, haya ma'aseh v'amru, kol safek b'shchita psula. Okay, they said any sort of safek, we're going to disqualify it. Now, what do you notice here? In all the cases, it was shachat et haveshet, right? They didn't give a case of shachat et hargargeret, which is the kaneh. All the cases started with shachat et haveshet. So what does that seem to imply? Shchita has to happen with the veshet. So what, right? Ve'ilu shchita begargeret lo katani. It doesn't say anywhere in this braita that it's shchita begargeret. So what do they answer? That doesn't prove anything. All these questions are relating to a shchita of the veshet because of a particular reason. Mishum degargeret avida l'ishtemute. Because it's common where the windpipe would get out of its place, but it's not as common for the veshet. So since we're talking about a case where something comes out of its place and we don't know, is it before you shechted the other siman or after, therefore all the cases are given in one direction where you shechted the veshet and the kaneh came out, was displaced.
Kaneh and gargaret are the same?
Yeah. Kaneh and gargaret are interchangeable, okay? It's the esophagus, the gullet, whatever you want to call it, but it's the same. So basically they're saying, since all the cases are given this way, it doesn't prove anything. They're not all just because you shechted the veshet. The same would hold true if you shechted the kaneh, just it would be unlikely that that would happen, that you would shecht the kaneh, and then you would find that the veshet was displaced. Okay, second source, again, two sources against Rav Nachman, even though I'll answer them both. Shachat shnei chatzei simanim ba'of psula. Okay, you shecht two half simanim, right? You might think two halves make up a whole. No, it's psula. Ve'ein sarich lomar bebeheman. Obviously, two halves in a beheman will be psula. V'Rabbi Yehuda amar omer be'of ad shishchot et haveshet ve'et havridim. Rabbi Yehuda says, in an oaf you have to shech the veshet and the vridim. Remember, we saw Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that you have to cut the veins also. Mishum de veshet samuch lavridim. Okay, because the veshet is right near the vridim. Oh, sorry, that's the answer. So, what do you see here? Because he says the veshet, it sounds like you have to do the veshet specifically. So now the answer, no, that's mishum de veshet samuch lavridim. Because he specifically mentioned veshet with the vridim, because the veshet is right near the vridim. We had a whole debate exactly which vridim he's talking about. But the assumption is that he mentioned the veshet here, but he could have also mentioned the kaneh. He was just mentioning veshet because it's near the vridim, and therefore he mentioned that, but not necessarily. Okay, those were two against Rav Nachman. Now we're going to have some against Rav Ada. Tashma, shachat chatzi gargeret, okay, half the kaneh, v'shaha kidei shchita acheret, and then you wait enough time that it would take till you did another shchita, right? That's what we call shehiya. V'gamar shchitato, and then he finishes shchita, kshera. Okay, so it works. So now they say, my lav be'of, in other words, what's this way they're going to read this source? We're talking about an of, because it talked about a chetzi of one siman. And my gemara, what does it mean? And then he finished his shchita. Okay, in other words, what happens here? He started with half the gargaret, then he waited, then he finished his shchita. That's okay, even though he waited in between. So now what are they assuming this means? This means we're talking about a bird. It was one siman, and what does it mean he finished? He finished that same siman, right? The assumption is he started with the kaneh. He waited. He finished with the kaneh, and then, right, we say it's a good shechita. So what do you see here? Obviously, you can just shech the kaneh if you want, because it doesn't say anything here about shechting the veshet. So then they answered, lo, bibehema. What it means really is the behema. Now, how do you deal with the fact that it only mentioned one siman? My gamara, gamra l'shechita kula. It says he started with chatzi gargari. Then he waits, and then he finishes up the rest of, right, more, most of that siman. He gets to rove of that siman, and then he does the second siman, and there it means, right, he finished the whole shechita, so b'dievet, it's okay. Why do they say this is okay? Isn't this shehiyah? Right? And that's what are we talking about? So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, chatzi gargaret lav hatchalat shechitahi. That doesn't even count, which, when we talk about shehiyah, we're talking about in between the two simanim. So it means you shechted the kaneh, let's say, and then you waited, and then you shechted the veshet. But this half of the siman doesn't even count. It's as if you didn't start yet. It's only once you get to more than half does it mean that you started. What are you confused by?
I'm not confused, but I thought a lot of the point of the specifics in the way we do shechita is not to prolong the pain of the animal.
So and here you did
really
have...
horrible.
Right, this does seem unpleasant.
It doesn't seem plausibly kosher.
Right. I could see what you're saying. Although the only thing I could say is that when we talked about the chatzi kaneh, that there's cases where it's already cut that first half, remember? And then you can just continue your shechita. So they're not really relating to that issue of treating the animal humanely. They're really more dealing with the fact that half a kaneh cut doesn't really mean anything. And so they don't view that as, right, the animal's not a trefa if that happens,
right,
and you can continue your shechita.
But yes. I just don't see how ultimately that's a kosher shechita.
So yeah, right. So, well, it's ultimately a kosher shechita because they don't view that as anything, really.
Yeah,
they don't
what,
view that
I mean,
that's,
I understand, but
yeah.
It's a way to fix it if they cut half of each, I guess, right?
What?
It's a way to fix it if they cut half of each.
What do you mean fix it?
Fix what?
Like to make it a kosher shechita.
But they haven't cut half of each. They've only cut half of one.
Well,
they've cut half of the kaneh, basically. With it, this is one of the classic examples where there's concept within halacha, like, you know, if we assume, which again, you know, it doesn't say it so much, doesn't talk about the whole humane aspect of this whole thing in general. We had a whole discussion at the table. My daughter said, you know, if shechita is supposed to be humane and we, nowadays, we see that there's so many other ways to shecht animals that are more humane than ours, then why aren't we changing that? Which was a very valid question. But if you notice here... Now that's the problem. It's very hard to change anything. And also, it doesn't make so much mention of the humane aspect of it. They're really talking about the details. And what are the details? And then they get so caught up in
the details.
And the details are that a chatzi kaneh, first of all, doesn't make an animal a treifa. A chatzi kaneh is basically considered nothing. So that's the way they're viewing it. But you're right that it's not very humane to start shechting. Stop midway. And then, yeah, it's definitely problematic from the humane perspective. Okay. So then they basically say, no, we're obviously talking about an animal. It doesn't necessarily mean a bird, and this doesn't prove anything. Tashma, next source. Hare shehaya chatzi kaneh pagum. Here's our case about the half kaneh, right? If you get to an animal and you see that already, you open up in the inside, you see that already half of the kaneh is cut. V'hosif alav kol shehu v'gmaro shechitato kshera. So what do you see, right? You add a little teeny bit, you get past the rove, you've already done your kosher shechita. So what does this sound like? Well, it sounds like you only did one siman, and therefore it must be a bird, and it's shechting the kaneh. And what did Rav Ada Bar Ava say? Only the veshet, not the kaneh. So my lav va'of u'may gamro gamro l'kaneh. No, you don't have to necessarily say that. You could say, bibehema umay gamro gamro l'veshet. It's talking about an animal, and when it means you finish up the kaneh, and then you move on to the veshet, and you finish the veshet, and your shechit is good, even though the first half of the kaneh was already cut.
I don't even understand how cutting the esophagus actually even kills the animal. Because you can, it's the stomach, it's the tube to the stomach. You need, like, I don't understand, the kaneh is the trachea for breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that should kill the animal.
You're saying why? Oh, I'm sorry. You're saying why wouldn't it kill? Why are they assuming?
Why do they even need the esophagus, the second pipe? It's not. You don't need that really. To kill the animal. I mean,
right. Well, so you're saying Rav Ada, who says the veshet and not the kaneh, doesn't make any sense to you because you think the life is more connected to the breathing, which makes sense. I don't know why. Right. That's why I looked in Rashi, and Rashi said, you know, that it's miyuchad because. you know, he claims based on the fact that a nekev doesn't make you a trefa. Again, right, you might, yeah, I don't know enough about the, I agree with you that the breathing does sound like more basic.
You can live with that in esophagus.
But maybe what they're saying is since you can live with a chatzi kaneh that's already cut, then maybe you could live with a shchita, which is just a little more than rov, and maybe somehow there's a way to live, even though it's cut, it's still intact. I don't know. Not sure. But it's based on their view of this chatzi kaneh pagum, but not a chatzi veshe pagum. They, you know, again, I don't know enough about the reality of this and how it really works. Okay. Tashma, next source. Ketzad molkim chatara of. How do you do malika in the chatara of? Chotech shidra umafreket, right? You break the bone in the back. Below rov basar, without the rov basar, we've seen the source already. Ad shemagia laveshet o lakaneh, right? Until you get to either. Or, right, we're going to see this obviously indicates either or. Higia laveshet ola kaneh, chotech siman echad verov basar imo. Ube ola shnayim, o rov shnayim. Now, this is clearly a bird. You can't say this talking about an animal like we do with the other sources. So, they in fact say, tiyuvta deraba debrava tiyuvta. Okay, this seems to be a valid question against his opinion. So now they say, my havela. Okay, well, now, this is a strange question. We just knocked out Rav Ad Bar Ava, so it should be obvious, why Havela, O Veshet, O Kaneh. But now they say, right, so they say, my Havela, Kidikamarta, what do you mean? Why are you asking what's the halacha? We already just showed that we knocked out Rav Ad Bar Ava, so obviously we hold by Rav Nachman. So they say, no, Dilma Shane Hatam, Di'ika Shidra Umafreket. In Malika, it's different than Shchita, because Malika, you break the neck bone. So obviously you've killed the animal, and then maybe it doesn't matter whether you do the Veshet or the Kaneh. But when you're coming from the front and you're not breaking the neck bone, then you might need specifically the Veshet if you say that the Chayud is Taloy in the Veshet. So therefore, you can't learn anything from this Malika source, and we do have a way to answer this up, according to Rav Ad Bar Ava. So now the Gemara says, okay, so my, so then what's the halacha? And here we're going to bring our source that finally proves it. Notice until now we keep bringing Tana'itic sources. This is something that goes on in the time of the Amoraim. It's not as early a source, but it's going to show what the rabbis did based on this. And we'll see that, in fact, I shouldn't give it away. We'll see who we hold up by when we get to the end. Tashma, dahu bar avza, dahava be rava, ata ki mismes koe dama. Okay, there was a duck in the house of Rava, and it was, I forgot what this word was.
Neck was stained with blood.
Oh, right. Its neck was stained with blood. Amar Rava, hechin avid. What can we do? In other words, they didn't know why it was bleeding. There was obviously some sort of wound there, but they didn't know why. He says, what are we supposed to do? Here are our options. Nishchate v'hadra nivdegei, if we shecht, and then we check. Dilma bukom nekev kashachi. We won't be, maybe the place where he was cut is exactly where we're going to shecht, in which case we won't be able to figure out was the animal a trefa or not. And then we'll never be able to know. Nivdike v'hadar nishchete. Maybe we could check it and then shecht it. No, check whether it's a trefa or not. Hamar rabba veshet ein lo b'dikami b'chut elami b'fnim. The only way to check the veshet is to go inside. Once you go inside, you've obviously killed the animal. So there's no way to do that. You can't check it before you shecht it. So he says, we're stuck. We can't check it after we shecht it because we won't necessarily be able to tell. And we can't check it before we shecht it because there's no way to do that. So Amalei Rav Yosef Berei, Rav Yosef, the son of Rava, comes to his father and says, I have a suggestion. Nivdike lekaneh. First check the kaneh. In other words, you can't check the veshet. Ein lo b'dikami b'chut elami b'fnim. But you could check the kaneh. V'nishchete lekaneh v'lichshere. Then you could check the kaneh. And then, right, that will make it a good shchita. V'hadar lapchua leveshet v'livdike. Then you can go check out the veshet and see whether there was a pgam in the veshet. If it was, the animal will be a trefa. If not, the animal will be kosher. So, what is Amar Rava? Chakim Yosef Berei b'trefot. My son Yosef is very smart in trefot. Ki Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, he knows a lot about trefot like Rabbi Yochanan. And what do you see from this source? Alma echad dekamar ohai ohai. Here he suggests shechting the kaneh, which shows that shechting the kaneh is a possibility, and therefore, which you probably guessed in the beginning, since until now all we've been talking about is one siman is either or, we paskin like Rav Nachman. Okay, next line. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad sheishchot, if you remember you said you have to also shecht the vridin, right? Ad sheishchot et havridin, it said in the Mishnah. So now we're going to learn about these Vridim, which we already mentioned this in the Mishnah when we learned it. Amar Rav Chista, lo Amar Rabbi Rehuda, ela be'of. He was only talking about in a bird. Why? Ho'il v'tzolehu kulo ke'achat, since you roast the whole thing at once, as one, in one piece, and you don't cut it into pieces where the blood will come out when you cut it. Therefore, worry the blood won't come out, and therefore, you have to take out the blood when you're doing shechita. You have to cut the vein in order to let out all the blood. Aval behema kevan de minat ha'ever ever lo tzarich. Okay, so behema, since you already chop it up into pieces before you roast it, you don't need to do this. Lememra, that's Rav Chista. So now they're going to say lememra the tamad Rabbi Yehuda mishum damhu. So are we assuming that his whole thing is just because of the blood, right? It doesn't have to do with shechita. It's not, there's two things. We talked about this in the Mishnah. There's shechita, shechting one of the simanim, whether it's the veshed has to be, or the veshed or the kanet we saw in the chalakin about. Then he says this is additional thing, which doesn't have to do with shechita. It has to do with, we can't eat the blood of the animal. So in order to get out the blood, we have to shecht. We have to also cut the vein. So Amar le Rav Chista, actually, is it a vein or an artery? How do they translate it?
How do they say vridim?
They just say vridim in English?
Yep,
everywhere.
Okay, fine. Amar Rav Chista, so the Memer Tama to Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Damhu, Vahatznan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Shishchot et Havridim. Notice it uses the Lashon of Shechita. It doesn't say until you cut the Vridim. It says until you shech the Vridim. It sounds like it's part of Shechita. So what do they answer? Ema, Ad Shinakevet Havridim. It means till you make a hole in the Vridim. In other words, it doesn't mean, it uses the term Shechita, but it doesn't mean Shechita specifically. Umay Ad Shishchot. So then why does it use the Lashon of Shechita if it really meant make a hole? Ad Shin Kov B'Shat Shechita. That's what it meant. It meant until you make a hole during the time of the Shechita. I'm sure if it doesn't translate there, it doesn't translate.
Well, I was looking for the note.
Right. Okay. Tashma.
This applies carotid arteries, possibly jugular veins.
Okay. Right. So either arteries or veins, depending on the interpretation, right? We already said there were many different interpretations where exactly it is. And okay. Tashma, vridim b'shchita. Okay, here's another source. It says vridim b'shchita, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That also sounds like they have to be shechted, right? And it's part of the shchita process. So again, ema vridim tzarich l'nakvam b'shat shchita, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Again, you could translate it as meaning you need to cut, you know, just make a perforation in them during the time that you're doing the shchita. Next source, tashma, amrulo l'Rabbi Yehuda me'achar shelo huzkeru vridim ele lotzi mehem dan, mali b'shchita, mali shelo b'shchita. Michlal de Rabbi Yehuda Savar b'shchita. The rabbis said to him, they disagreed with him, right? Only Rabbi Yehuda says this. What they say to him? Since vridim, you only need them to take out the blood, mali b'shchita, mali shelo b'shchita. What's the difference whether you do it b'shchita or not b'shchita? So what does the Gemara assume from here? The Rabbi Yehuda obviously thought you have to do it b'shchita, meaning it's part of shchita. And therefore, right, how do you say this? So again, they're going to say the exact same thing they keep answering. Hachi kamila. Mali linakvan b'shat shchita, mali linakvan shelo b'shat shchita. We keep saying, what does shchita mean? While you're doing the shchita. So they basically say to him, if the whole issue for you is just to take out blood, why do you have to do it during shchita? You could do it after shchita. And therefore, again, it doesn't prove anything that you actually have to shech them. It has nothing to do with shchita. In fact, it's a strange source they bring because specifically how they start out really seems to indicate it's only about the blood. So, okay. Behu savar, so now it's a good question. Why? What's the answer of Rabbi Yehuda to the rabbis? Why does, if it's just to get rid of the blood, you could do it later? Behu savar b'shat shchita at adam dechayim. Shelo b'shat shchita lo at adam dekarir. It's much easier to get the blood out when the blood is warm.
So it's not a It'll requirement, flow. But it's an efficiency.
It's a requirement because the only way to get out the blood is effective. It's about effectiveness.
Yeah.
It's going to be most effective when the blood is hot. Once it gets cold and it coagulates, then it's going to be much harder for the blood to come out. By Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah now asks, V'ridim l'Rabbi Yehuda, shaha behen, daras behen mahu. So how close to shchita do we view this? Does it have all the dinim of shchita that you can't wait in between, that if you would daras behem, you cut it rather than this back and forth motion, but you chop into it, would that be a problem? Amar le ahu saba, hachi amar Rabbi Elazar, va'amar le ahu saba le Rabbi Elazar. Okay, either ahu saba said, this is what Rabbi Elazar said, or ahu saba said, right? Ahu saba just means an older guy. said to Rabbi Elazar, Hachayam Rabbi Yochanan, Minakvam Bekotz Vehen Ksherim. Okay, you can just... I think... One second. This doesn't relate to the question that Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, right? This is just... Rabbi Yirmiyah asked his question.
Yeah, no, it does. He's responding to
it. Oh, it is a response? Okay, sorry. Then I missed it. He's saying, Minakvam Bekotz Vehen Ksherim. Right. You that obviously holds that there's no din of shchita at all, okay? It doesn't have to do... It doesn't really talk about shehir. It does, I guess, about drisa, but it does... Right. It's basically saying you don't need any laws of shchita don't apply to this.
The only way to puncture it with a thorn would be to press into it, which suggests
right.
The pressing is okay.
Okay, the pressing is okay, and then we can assume she is okay and all that. There's some people ask, why don't they ask about the other five, you know, the other three psulim, but anyway, we'll leave that. Tanya Kavate de Rav Chista. Now we're going to see a proof to Rav Chista. Again, what did Rav Chista say? Rav Chista said that Rav Yehuda is only talking about ba'of. Shachat shnei chatzei simanim ba'of pasul, ve'ein sarich lomar bebeima. Rav Yehuda omer ba'of ad shishchot etavesha ve'etavridim. Here you see, what does it say? In an oaf, you have to shech. There it says explicitly that Rav Yehuda mentions oaf. So here you finally have a Tana Idik source, not just Rav Chista who says it, but a Tana who says that Rabbi Yehuda, you know, a Tana Idik source that says Rabbi Yehuda specifically said Be'of. Okay, now we're going to get to another machloka between Rav and Rav Kahana about this Chatzi Be'of. Chatzi Acha Be'of v'chule. Okay, generally we talk about majority means a little more than half, but we're going to see here that there's a debate. There's a debate between Rav and Rav Kahana. What about if you shecht exactly half? Mechza al mechza, Rav said. Rav amar mechza al mechza kirov. Why? Because you have it, you know, it's a matter of your perspective. Yes, you need more than half, but more than half shechted or more than half not shechted. In other words, how do you view it? So he says, mechza mechza, if you cut exactly half, that's considered that you have it left rov unshechted, and therefore it's okay. Rav Kahana amar mechza mechza eino kirov. Exactly 50-50 is not rov and it's not a good shechita. Rav amar mechza mechza kirov hachi amar le'rachmana le'moshe. Lo tishayir ruba. Don't leave over a majority uncut. So therefore, since already half is cut, you don't have a majority that's uncut. Rav Kahana amar mechza mechza eino kirov hachi amar le'rachmana le'moshe shchot ruba. Okay, you have to have rov shechted. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll pick up tomorrow on questions on, we'll start with questions on Rav. Okay, on this 50-50.